Ideas matter. Ideas matter. This is Dialogue.
Hello and welcome to our special program, Crosstalk. The annual Boao Forum for Asia has kicked off in the city of Boao in South China's Hainan province, with 5,000 participants expected at the four-day event, which examines the most pressing issues in Asia and the world at large. So what's up for discussion at this year's Boao Forum? How has Asia promoted regional integration as the world becomes increasingly fragmented? And as the key driver of global economic growth, how can Asia counter the spillover effects of ongoing regional conflicts such as those in Ukraine and Gaza? To find out more, I'm glad to talk with guests from different nations through real-time translation. Joining me today are Luis Martin from Spain, an economics commentator, and Lotfi Mikdam from Algeria, a news commentator from the CGTN Arabic channel, and Professor Joan Gong from the University of International Business and Economics in China. Welcome to this special program, gentlemen. I will start with Luis. The theme of this year's Boao Forum is Asia and the World, Common Challenges and Common Responsibilities. So share with us, what's your take of this theme?
I think the theme accurately reflects the current world economic situation. Humanity, as a whole, is facing a series of common challenges. These challenges include climate change, geopolitical security, supply chains, and the use of artificial intelligence. These challenges are real and cannot be ignored. We must evaluate them and develop feasible plans to respond. All of these must be completed together. No country can solve these problems alone. It is a global responsibility. As the theme suggests, responsibility must be shared because the consequences will be shared whether we cooperate or not. We live in a globalized world and share the same planet. Nobody can stay out. This theme is not only about Asia, but also about the whole world, as these challenges are not limited to a region, but can be extended globally. These are not issues that Asian countries can avoid being affected, nor are they problems that Asian countries can solve on their own. Moreover, the Asian region has become the center of the world, with a population of over 4.7 billion, accounting for nearly 45% of global GDP. What happens in Asia has a significant impact on the world. Of course, the opposite is also true. Asian countries have already realized this responsibility and played a leading role in tackling these challenges. Therefore, this year's Boao Forum are attended by leaders from multiple Asian countries, including representatives from international organizations such as the WTO, OECD, and the World Intellectual Property Organization, as well as business leaders, scholars, and experts. They discuss their respective concerns. The Boao Forum has proven its importance in global decision-making year after year.
Well, John, of course, there are challenges. I think it's easy to understand, Ukraine crisis, Gaza crisis, tensions in Asia, for example, in the South China Sea, etc. And the common responsibilities, what kind of responsibilities do you think, Asian countries are thinking about, as the common responsibility here?
The theme of the Boao Forum is about the regional integration and development of the Asia-Pacific region. I think Asian people are very lucky now. We live in a peaceful period and the regional situation is still very stable. We must cherish peace. How to maintain regional peace and stability and reduce regional tensions are important issues that countries in the Asia-Pacific region need to focus on.
Well, Lotfi, obviously, this ultimate goal is growth, prosperity, stability. But before that, the priority conditions required is stability, peace. And so in that respect, what are the common responsibilities for Asian countries, including China and Arab countries, to bring about peace and stability for a sustained and long-term development in this region?
العالم أصبح قرية صغيرة والتحديات كبيرة جدا. فمن هذا نلاحظ بأن اليوم الدول الآسيوية كقاطرة للتنمية في العالم تستطيع أن تستعمل هذا الإرث يعني الإرث الحضاري أو الإرث الاقتصادي.
The world is a global village facing immense challenges. We observe that today's Asian countries, as engines of global development, can leverage their cultural or economic heritage to reconstruct new platforms for dialogue. Through dialogue, we can build the future and tackle challenges. Taking the Middle East issue as an example, as you mentioned, perhaps this region lacks dialogue, or the dialogue itself is targeted. Therefore, forums like the BOAO Forum for Asia, which are oriented towards Asian countries, establish platforms for dialogue by formulating relevant policies, enabling these countries to discuss common responsibilities and challenges.
التصورات والتطلعات الإنمائية للشعوب عندما نضع
These policies align with the development concepts and aspirations of people in various countries. When we put people first and formulate policies addressing concerns from all sides, the result is inevitably positive, which is also the goal of this year's BOAO Forum. I believe that the BOAO Forum is ambitious and highly anticipated, especially as Asian economies account for over 40% of the world economy. Moreover, China serves as the locomotive driving global economic growth, with its contribution to world economic growth reaching around 30% in 2023. All of these serve as tools for the world to address challenges. Firstly, opening channels for dialogue is the urgent need of our time. China mediates among all parties while taking care of its own interests, because China hopes to gather positive forces by forging a shared human destiny to quickly overcome development crises.
Well, with all the development, the goals and the potentials, of course, you know, if you look at the global economy and Asia's place and China's place in this landscape, you see Asia is a key driver for global economic growth, and China's contribution to this global economic growth has remained like about 30% for years. So what do you make of this, you know, the role played by Asia economies and also that of China in this global landscape?
Sí, como mencionaba antes, Asia cuenta con más de 4.700 millones de habitantes y representa alrededor del 45% del PIB mundial y se ha convertido en la principal impulsora.
As I mentioned earlier, Asia has a population of over 4.7 billion, accounting for nearly 45% of the world's GDP. And has become the main driving force for global economic growth. According to the IMF, Asia contributes two-thirds of the world's economic growth. China is the main driver in Asia, which corresponds to its role as the world's second largest economy. Last year, China's GDP increased by 5.2% year-on-year. During this year's two sessions, a target of GDP growth of around 5% year-on-year in 2024 was announced. It is indeed difficult to make predictions about the future, but China is laying the foundation for medium to long-term sustainable economic growth. China is transforming its production mode, placing greater emphasis on consumption and openness, promoting dual circulation, and integrating new quality productive forces. This not only ensures its own sustainable development, but also creates opportunities for the world. Of course, a significant portion of these opportunities will benefit Asian countries, as they are adjacent to China and have traditional friendships with it. China has already been a major trading partner for most Asian countries, and the opportunities it creates will benefit these countries. China's investment in these countries is also increasing year by year. The China Development Forum was recently held in Beijing. Premier Li Qiang stated that despite the uncertainty of the global economic situation, China will continue to inject stability into this uncertainty with its own potential and vitality.
China, sin duda, va a seguir inyectando estabilidad a esta situación de incertidumbre, apoyada en el potencial de su economía y su vigorosidad.
I want to talk more about the, you know, the potential of the Chinese economy. Mm-hmm. You know, there are let's say, different opinions about the Chinese economy, especially in different media, commentaries, analysis. It seems people are not that sure of like what kind of a potential, what kind of prospect there will be for Chinese economy. You have been living in China for years. You have been following the Chinese economic growth. Tell us more about that.
Yo considero que tenemos que resaltar un término que se ha hecho muy, muy presente últimamente, que es el de las nuevas fuerzas productivas de calidad.
The concept of new quality productive forces has recently been emphasized a lot by the media and in official documents. It has been in use since last year and was emphasized at the Central Economic Work Conference held in December and has been elevated to an important pillar of research in China's economic development during this year's two sessions. What are the components of new quality productive forces? It means advanced productive forces, with innovation as the mainstay, breaking away from traditional economic growth paths and productive forces, and focusing on high tech, high efficiency, and high quality, better allocation of production factors, and promoting profound industrial transformation. In recent years, we have noticed that China has made significant progress in technological innovation and industrial modernization. We have witnessed the fact that the number of patents has been among the top in the world for many consecutive years, and the proportion of emerging industries in the national economy has been continuously increasing. We have also been seeing that industries that include high-end equipment production, new energy enterprises, and biotechnology are booming.
Con las empresas de nuevas energías y también la biotecnología, por ejemplo.
What I want to emphasize is that the development of these new quality productive forces does not mean ignoring the traditional industries of the Chinese economy. We need to avoid excessive resource transfer from traditional sectors and seek diversification of growth models. Although this term has only recently become popular, it is a concept that has been implemented for several years, as evidenced by some projects. For example, in Boao, a demonstration zone with almost zero emissions as its core was put into operation a few days ago. Hainan Province, where Boao is located, announced a plan in 2022 to ban the sale of gasoline-powered vehicles by 2030. These are just two examples of what is happening nationwide, and this trend is becoming more significant and more apparent.
En 2022 se anunció que para 2030 ya se cancelaría, no, se prohibiría la circulación de vehículos a combustible, con combustibles tradicionales. Estos son solo dos ejemplos de una tendencia muy clara que está ocurriendo a nivel nacional y que cada vez es mayor y más obvia.
Lotfei, obviously we are witnessing this innovation-driven economic growth in Asia as well as in China, obviously as well as a digital transformation in this region. So how, you know, will that help, for example, with the Chinese, the new productive forces or high-quality development? I mean, long-term, this growth potential. In that respect.
نعم بطبيعة الحال هناك طاقة كامنة موجودة داخل الاقتصاد الآسيوي أو عندما نعمل مقارنة داخل الاقتصاد.
Asia has huge economic potential, and China's economy has well developed that through its digital transformation. With innovation, China has created many new frameworks, such as the consumption framework, industrial framework, and frameworks for operating supply chains in the Chinese or global markets. It is China's advantage that its economy has entered a new phase that will reshape the Chinese market.
أصبح أنه بسبب الابتكار استطاع الاقتصاد الصيني أن يمر إلى مرحلة جديدة.
China has the largest market in the world, with more than 1.4 billion consumers. Based on its technology industry and its industrial chain, China has become the only country in the world with all the industrial categories defined by the United Nations Industrial Classification.
We
can say that innovation will be a powerful driver for improving the economic performance of China and Asia. China is now at the center stage of Asia, and the Belt and Road Initiative emphasizes digitalization, informatization, and high-speed internet channels, including optical fiber for fast transmission of information.
هي أيضا مبادرة فيها الجانب الرقمي أو ما يعرف بطرق السيارة للمعلومات أو للإنترنت.
These will enable Asia, especially those Asian countries that are relatively weak in technology, to achieve high economic performance. This information, or digital bridge, will help boost manufacturing, promote the industrial development of China, Asia, and the world to achieve win-win results and create economic achievements that bring global attention.
الزج بالصناعات الصينية والعالمية وأيضا الآسيوية إلى تحقيق الفوز المشترك وأيضا الصمود أمام التداعيات الاقتصادية التي يعرفها العالم كما تفضلت بذكره في البداية.
The world is experiencing geopolitical and strategic pressures, as well as uncertainties such as fluctuations in global financial markets. Electronic industry, technological innovation, and digital technology will become new industries, helping high quality development and achieving prosperity and win-win results.
سوف تكون ذلك الخارق لخلق مجالات جديدة من أجل صناعة عالية الجودة ويتبعها التي يتبعها الرخاء والفوز المشترك.
Well, John, of course, you know, Lotfei mentioned about this supply chain, you know, this integration basically between Chinese economy and Asian economy in the areas of digital transformation or the transformation of an innovation-driven pattern of growth there. What kind of relationship, you know, you would say about you know, China's development and the Asian economies here?
The center of gravity of the world economy is shifting to the Asia-Pacific region, especially in terms of digital trade. China has several very large internet companies which are quite active in Asia, such as Didi, Meituan, and Alibaba. They have frequent business activities in this region. China's economic cooperation with this region has brought many employment opportunities to the region and also represents a new direction of world development. China's market is huge. China's trade volume with ASEAN countries has surpassed China's trade volume with the United States and EU countries. ASEAN has become China's largest trading partner. Focusing on economic development and trade cooperation, Asian countries promote regional collaboration and resource integration, which provides a very strong driving force for global economic development.
So what advantages, what strength do you see in terms of this integration of Asian economies, in particular, you know, China and ASEAN countries, for example?
In fact, historically, China's economic cooperation with Southeast Asia has been very close. The globalization we are talking about today actually started as early as the 17th century. 400 to 500 years ago, when the Spanish arrived in the Philippines, global trade had already been formed in this region. So historically, the economic ties between China and Southeast Asia have been very close. Now, times have changed. These economic ties have developed with the interconnection of infrastructure, which is also very important. There is now a railway between China and Laos that extends south to Thailand. In the future, the vision is to extend the railway all the way south to Singapore. Maybe that will happen one day. In addition to that, there are also railways built by China in Indonesia. There will be more and more infrastructure construction projects like that which will greatly improve the level of infrastructure construction in the region and facilitate bilateral and multilateral trade and investment exchanges. China's economic development has also driven the economic development of this region. The region's population increase and large-scale economic growth have also in turn brought many development opportunities to Chinese companies.
Well, continue with that theme, you know, Luis, of course, this year there's a report, as an annual report actually, you know, released at the Boa Forum, the Asian Economic Outlook and Integration Progress. So if you look at this connectivity, you know, we mentioned Belt and Road Initiative, and also this, you know, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, you know, 10 plus countries inside this one free trade framework. And of course, their digital transformation connectivity over there. How do you see this integration progress, you know, among the Asian economies here?
We have been closely following the publication of the report, which always generates great anticipation to understand the dynamics of growth and cooperation in the region and its global impact, as well as the role played by the Global South in global economic governance. This year's report offers a comprehensive review of economic growth in Asia, covering areas such as inflation, employment, trade, investment, and relevant policies. Experts predict that in 2024, amidst a slow economic recovery and certain geopolitical instability, collaborative efforts by Asian economies will bring stability to the global economic situation and are crucial for global economic growth. Let us also remember that one of the greatest achievements of this regional cooperation is precisely the RCEP, a free trade agreement initiated by the 10 ASEAN countries, which includes China, Japan, Republic of Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. This agreement celebrated its second anniversary on January 1st, and in these 2 years, significant progress has already been made in logistical cooperation and supply chains, which have benefited all members. The report also focuses on promoting an investment-friendly environment, which has restored investor confidence and facilitated financial cooperation. Furthermore, the Belt and Road Initiative continues to provide benefits to over 40 partners in the region who are already benefiting from its infrastructure, technology, regulations, and operations projects. Efforts to develop the Digital Silk Road are also discussed, aiming to boost cooperation in areas such as technological innovation and the digital economy.
Of course, John, you know, we mentioned about RCEP, RCEP, you know, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership here. You know, there's a latest report saying that the Chinese export of EVs, you know, we are seeing barriers in the United States, in the European continent, basically. But they say, oh, China's EVs are finding a marketplace here under RCEP there. Of course, this is good for Chinese economy, Chinese export, but also it's good for the global fight against this climate change, isn't it?
Indeed, you are right. The export of Chinese electric vehicles to Southeast Asia has greatly contributed to addressing global climate issues. Chinese automotive companies have established manufacturing facilities in Southeast Asia, creating numerous opportunities for the region. For instance, China's SAIC Motor Corporation Limited has set up a large automobile manufacturing base in Thailand, while companies like BYD have established plants in Indonesia and other Southeast Asian countries. Bilateral and mutually beneficial cooperation has generated employment opportunities and enhanced the local manufacturing industry. Additionally, Chinese enterprises have engaged with local markets, resulting in a win-win situation. This collaboration has also made significant contributions to addressing global climate issues.
Well, Lotfei, you know, China is ahead of most of the countries in terms of renewable energies, you know, green energies development there. And of course, this is a kind of a transformation. A green transformation is critical to the global fight against the climate change. I want to talk about the role played by China or to be played by China in this area, in this renewable energy production, or in this what do we call it, like a green transformation.
نعرف بأن الصين خطت خطوة كبيرة في مجال حماية البيئة.
China has made tremendous progress in the field of environmental protection, and the success of the Paris Climate Summit is closely related to China. Its climate policies coincide with China's future prospects. China has set a timetable and roadmap to achieve carbon peak and carbon neutrality goals, which can be leveraged through innovation and advanced industries. Today, China is able to formulate policies based on green energy at various levels, such as schools and factories. At the same time, China is one of the largest countries that combines green energy with economic development.
يعني أعطت للعالم دروس في المجال التكنولوجي من حيث إنتاج الطاقة الخضراء.
China's technology in green energy production provides the world with experience, and through all its achievements today, it helps to move forward and achieve the integration of green energy and clean energy.
أستطيع يعني من وضعيتي يعني الوطن العربي مثلا لو نأخذ دول الخليج اليوم و هناك كثير من الرؤى في دول الخليج مثل السعودية والإمارات العربية المتحدة.
In the Arab world, Gulf countries such as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have many visions of transforming their oil and fossil energy-based economies into green energy-based economies, and China is the biggest contributor to the openness of Arab countries.
وصلت لأن تكون ذلك الرابط خاصة هنا في دول الآسيوية عندما نتكلم عن الدول الآسيوية هناك دول مختلفة.
China has close and unique connections with Asian countries, and the development levels of Asian countries vary. China can play an important role through its experience in helping other countries formulate plans, establish development platforms, and assist in the transformation of their energy structure based on the characteristics of each country. These countries can all actively cooperate with China in green energy transition through the Belt and Road Initiative and bilateral talks. China has expertise in this field and can play an important role.
فالصين تستطيع عمل هذا الدور وهو أن تصنع التكامل داخل هذه الرابطة باستعمال الطاقة النظيفة والاستفادة من الخبرات الصينية في هذا المجال.
How do you see this economic cooperation between China and the European Union, for example?
As for cooperation between China and Europe, I believe the list is extensive. There are certain areas where cooperation already exists, while others require more alignment of interests among all stakeholders. However, I believe the common need to address certain challenges and create mutually beneficial opportunities will eventually guide the dialogue between the responsible parties. In general, the areas in which Europe and Asia can cooperate are of interest to the world as a whole: climate change, artificial intelligence, and supply chains, as mentioned. Each country or region has its own strengths and opportunities in this cooperation. European and Asian countries are leaders in cutting-edge innovation. In these and other areas, several Asian countries have strong manufacturing capabilities, while others have abundant energy and resources for sustainable transformation and high-tech production. E-commerce in Asian countries also has a more advanced level of development. On the other hand, European countries, either at the national level or as part of the EU, have globally recognized legislative frameworks in areas such as intellectual property, privacy protection, and the aforementioned artificial intelligence.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for speaking with us.